Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing that with all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, a number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. Expected to be joined by rapper, actor, and Dancing with the Stars, Romeo Miller, who will stop by and talk about the show. Talk about the NBA playoffs, as Romeo was a Division I athlete at USC, was a Division I basketball player. People tend to forget about that, but he was a D1 basketball player, and he's going to talk about the NBA playoffs. He's going to talk about Dancing with the Stars, and he's going to talk about his new movie, which comes out May 6th, Jumping the Broom, so it should be interesting, a lot of fun to talk to Romeo Miller, and also Chris Whitney, former Villanova quarterback, and now a guy that's looking to get drafted, a guy who's right now going through the process and getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. So it should be very interesting to get Chris's thoughts on the process and how he's feeling as the draft is approaching us very, very soon. Jeremy?
What's going on, Paul?
I'm not too much. How are you?
You know, it's the best time of the year. You were just talking about NBA playoffs. But I'm sure you forgot to mention, the best playoffs of all is those great NHL playoffs. And, unfortunately, the Flyers
There has been some argument which is the best playoff. But I like to think the NBA playoffs are the best playoff. Just my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's we're getting to ready. All the matchups are kind of getting situated. And in the meantime, you can enjoy, I'm sure you've been enjoying the NHL playoffs. Just get yourself ready, for NBA. You probably sit back, and I'm sure you were watching with bated breath.
Well, again, haven't watched much in the NHL playoffs, to be honest with you. But I know the Flyers are down 1-0, and I do know that. But I do know that today is April 16th. I do know yesterday was tax day. But I do know today is the start of the most wonderful time of the year. March Madness is over. The NBA playoffs are upon us, and it gets started on here today. You got Chicago and the Pacers kicking it off at 1. My Philadelphia 76ers against the Miami Heat at 3:30. The Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks at 7. And this is going to be some beautiful, beautiful basketball. 9:30, you got Portland and Dallas to conclude this whole night. If you're a hoops junkie, an NBA hoops junkie, this is your day. This is your time of the year. This is a great time of the year. And you look at the NBA playoffs now, it's a wide-open affair. It's a very, very wide-open affair. You can say in the East, the Miami Heat have a legitimate shot. You can say in the East that the Boston Celtics have a very legitimate shot. You can say in the East that the Chicago Bulls have a legitimate shot. You can even say in the East that the Orlando Magic, who I think could beat any team, have a legitimate shot to win this NBA championship. And if you look out West, You can say the same about the Los Angeles Lakers, the defending champion. You can say the same about the San Antonio Spurs, the top seed in the West. You can say the same about the Dallas Mavericks, the number three seed out West, and even the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number four seed, but was a game away from being the number two seed. So you can say, legitimately, eight teams have legitimate shots to win the NBA title. This is going to be a wide-open affair, and this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful next few 40 days and the next 40 nights. It's going to be beautiful. How do you feel about these NBA playoffs, Jeremy?
Well, you know, you and me, Paul, we're two guys that come together on something very similarly, and two guys that, you know, to each their own. I told you in the beginning of the show, it's NHL all the way, baby. Now, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm looking forward to what I believe to be a short series. I'm gonna give the Sixers a valiant 4-1 losing effort, but I really actually am very much looking forward to watching them. I really want to see a Sixers, you know, a team that's under Doug Collins that's looking to do big things, and I think there's pieces in place, and this could be if they win one game, I can tell you I will be quite satisfied in their efforts, and I'm very much looking forward to that series. It's been too long. I think you and I both agree it's been way too long. Philadelphia playoffs are Sixers are back, and I want to see them come in at least win one game at home.
Well, I disagree with you. Do I think the Sixers will win this series? No. But do I think the Sixers will compete and this will be a very competitive series? Yes, I do, very much so. This will be a very competitive 6-game series. The Sixers, again, they started off 3-13. Dougie Collins and the boys, they turned this thing around with the quickness after that 3-13 start. And they finished 41-41. 41-41. And that's after getting off the start that they got off. And they did that thing. I mean, they went 38-28 the rest of the way. So they start 3-13 and go 38-28 the rest of the way. That's 10 games over 500. That's pretty good. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. So
I agree.
This is a team that they're going to compete. Yes, the Miami Heat will win this series. Yes, the Miami Heat are the better team. But one thing you can say about this Sixers team, under Doug Collins, they compete. They compete. And they compete. Yes, the Heat swept them in 3 games this season. The first game, October 27th, I don't really read too much into that one because at that point, the Sixers were not the Sixers that we know today. They were a totally different team at that point. A totally, totally, totally different team at that point. They weren't what they are today. Now, we move forward. November 26th, they played the Miami Heat in Miami. Again, the Heat get the W, but it was a competitive basketball game. It was a competitive basketball game. And then the last game these two teams played, the Heat won again, 111-99. But again, a competitive game. That was a game the Sixers held a 16-point lead in. They held a 16-point lead in that particular ball game. So, yes, the Heat swept the season series. But, yes, the Heat are a different team at this point. Their team is playing very good basketball right now. But the Sixers are also a different team at this point. And I think everybody, I'm looking at ESPN.com right now. I'm seeing a lot of fives here and there. I'm seeing a lot of fives. A couple sixes, but I'm seeing a lot of fives. And I just think one thing about the Sixers this year, they have competed. They have competed. And, yes, they probably won't win this series. But one thing I will say about them is they will compete. And this series will go 6, but it will be a competitive, hard-fought 6-game series. And Miami probably will be better for it after coming out of this series. I like the Heat in 6 games, a competitive, tough, hard-fought 6-game series here. How do you see it, Jeremy?
Well, I mean,
it says 4-1?
I thought it was going to go. I mean, I'd love to see the deeper it goes, I think, and I think you and I both see this exactly the same. I mean, in my opinion, you hit the nail right on the head. For the Sixers organization as a whole, this is a major coup. Being the start that they had, I think everyone looked at this team and said, you know, here we go again, another horrible season of Sixers basketball. But to the team's credit, and most of all to Doug Collins' credit, you know, they turned around. And as you said, they wind up, you know, theoretically multiple games above 500 when you take out the way that they start, and especially from the break. And I think, you know, they certainly have the young guns. If the Heat, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, with Dwayne Wade, I mean, forget about Bosch, I think, but with Wade and LeBron, who have really gone so – Wade's won the championship. LeBron's been there. So I think those guys, they know, you know, what's at stake. They certainly know that you can't – it is the playoffs.
Well, the way I see it and the way I see this series is, yes, LeBron and those boys have been there. Yes, LeBron specifically has been there. Dwayne Wade has won a title. So there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on this Miami Heat team. Does the pressure get to him? Does the pressure get to him? Because the reality of it is this. This is the reality of that situation, the reality of this whole situation for the Miami Heat. It's title or bust. If they don't win a title, then this season is for naught.
Yeah, but
if
but here's the thing. You got to remember, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's why I bring up Dwayne Wade. I really think, yes, the media is all about, and I think that's the beauty here. The media is all about the LeBron. But really, it's Dwayne Wade, I think, that is, if they're going to win, if they're going to be a dynasty, it's going to be on his shoulders. And the reason I say that is because, A, he's already done all of this. And, B, when you really look at it, I mean this, while LeBron is the more overall talented player, the X factor is not going to ever be LeBron. The X factor is going to be Dwayne Wade, because you cannot, I mean, a player like a Michael Jordan or a player like LeBron, they are the ones. And if you go back, if you compare now LeBron to a Michael Jordan and now who's got saddled up with his Scottie Pippen, not to say that Dwayne Wade isn't in his own right, shouldn't be in that regard. That's why I say it, Paul. He's already won a championship. He's already an elite player in this league. I don't think people really recognize, you know, how special a player Dwayne Wade is in his true comparison to, to the rest of the league. And almost if you were to compare him against LeBron James. I mean, he won his championship with Shaq. Last year and the year before that, I really felt like LeBron should have been winning championships, and he didn't. And that tells me something about LeBron, and it tells me something about D-Wade.
But here's the thing. The pressure is on Miami. I mean, the pressure is on this team. Like I said before, it's championship or bust. If they don't win a championship, everything they do does not matter. It's about winning a championship. It's about winning a title. If they don't do it, this season is a lost season. This is not a successful season. That's pressure. These three were brought together, the big three, Bosch, Wade, LeBron. They were brought together to win a championship. Bottom line, point blank, no getting around it. They were brought together to win the championship. That's it. So if they don't do that, this season's a lost season. That's pressure. That's a lot of pressure. And this is a team that has struggled at the end of ball games. They have struggled at the end of ball games. That's been a problem for them. This is a team. Point guard play, not the greatest. Mike Bibby, Mario Chalmers, not the greatest. This is a team. Size-wise, went for Eric Tamper, went for Joel Anthony, went for Ilgauskas. Their size does not scare you. But you can't discount Chris Bosh, Wade, and LeBron James. But I'll say this. There is an opportunity here for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not saying I don't think they'll win. But I think they can make this competitive, and I know they'll make it competitive, and I know they'll make it this a competitive six-game series. No doubt about it. they'll make it a competitive six-game series, and they may even steal game one today. But they will compete. And if you're a Sixers fan, you should be proud of this team, and I think you'll be proud of their effort during this series. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be competitive, but ultimately,
I think, Paul, and that's something that we're going to – I'm sure, you know, this the Sixers offseason, and it's probably during the playoffs, and especially if they do – I mean, if you're right, if they win two games, if they get to a sixth game with this Heat team, I think you're going to see a total different transformation in the Philadelphia marketplace. And especially, you know, in the NBA, when you talk NBA, I think going into the next season – I mean, the Sixers team may have rebranded themselves in a large way, and I totally agree. This is a Sixers team that I think they're starting to turn heads, and they win two games against this Heat team, which is now been, you know, they're being crowned, you know, the difference maker, if you will, in the NBA over the next 5-7 years with these, you know, three new players. And And a team, an up-and-coming team like the Sixers, they really could very much put themselves in a very high-regarded position. I'm excited for, if for no one else, who I really am excited for, you know, is Elton Brand and Andre Iguodala, because they have certainly been much maligned and betrayed talks and was Elton Brand a bust, you know, and seeing the fact that, you know, they have very much turned the corner for team, it shows a lot about their character.
And right, yes, you could say that about the Sixer team, and say what you will about Andre Iguodala. I mean, you hear the criticism and talk about what he can't do. His handle, not great. His handle, not the greatest handle. Jump shot can be erratic at times. But to look at his numbers, if you look at his numbers as a whole, if you look at it, I mean, he's a guy who averaged 14 points a game. But he also averaged close to 6 boards a game, 5.8, and he averaged over 6 assists a game, 6.3. So this is a guy who is a do-it-all type of player. Yes, we can talk about all the stuff that he can't do. And we can talk about that, all the stuff that he can't do. But let's talk about the stuff that he can do. He can defend. He definitely can defend. Averaging 1.5 steals a game. The guy can defend. He can rebound. He can set players up. And he can score a little bit at 14 points a game. Andre Iguodala, for whatever all his flaws, is a good basketball player. Is a do-it-all type of basketball player. And yes, he's not a number one option. Yes, he's not a superstar type of player. But let's talk about some of the stuff that he does do. And I think he deserves to get some more credit than he actually does. He deserves my credit in my mind. And you look at Elton Brand, another guy who, like you said, much maligned during his time in Philadelphia. But Elton Brand's had a nice comeback season for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he is one of the reasons that the Philadelphia 76ers are in the playoffs at this point. Elton Brand's having a pretty good year for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's doing all right. He's done all right this year.
And that's why, Paul, piggyback off of your comment. I mean, I think... And I'm sure the Heat aren't foolish. I think if anyone out there doesn't, you know, give this team some respect, you may very quickly find yourself, you know, down 2-0.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it comes down to the heart that the Sixers have. And they have heart. The Sixers have a whole heck of a lot of heart. And so I expect them to do big things. I really do, and I'm looking forward to this game. This is going to be a big one for the Sixers, and I'm looking forward to these playoffs. Let's actually take a caller. Girl, go for it. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah.
It's you. Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, I just was listening, you know, I have my own Blog Talk Radio, too, so I was like, hey, check it out. Hi.
Hi. What do you think about these playoffs?
Oh, I really don't know, I'm sorry. I like the Lakers, that's all I can say.
Well, let's see what happens today. Continue to listen, all right?
I will. Bye.
Sometimes, boy, you know, that's why they have Almond Joy and they have mouths. You know, sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't.
Well, if you like the Lakers, then the Lakers are the champions. You know, we'll see what happens with the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Lakers have struggled near the end of this season. They really have struggled.
They have struggled
big time.
Yeah. You can prognosticate. I mean, a guy like me, and certainly at the end of this show, you and I will be delving out many projections. But I think to just sit there and just say this is the Lakers' year. It could be said. Listen, they're defending champs, but not in the last 10 games. In the last 10 games, you got to question how they even got into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, they have struggled these last 10 games, and it has not been a great 10 games for the Los Angeles Lakers. Not at all, to say the least. But guess what? They're champions, and champions know when to turn it on. And I think the Lakers will know when to turn it on. I think they'll turn it on come playoff time. Now, in terms of the Western Conference is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. If you look at the possibilities for that second-round matchup. I mean, you're talking second round, it could be, you're talking possibly a matchup of the Lakers and the Mavericks and Oklahoma City and the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
So that's going to be some beautiful matchups. Even in the East, the second round, I mean, you could have the Heat against the Celtics and the Magic against the Bulls. So you have possibilities here of some great, great second-round series. Now, the first round, I mean, we can go through that, and you look at the first round, you figure the Bulls, Pacers, a team 8 games under 500, a team that turned it around after they fired their coach Jim O'Brien, and Frank Vogel came in and did some things with this team. But overall, when it comes to the Pacers against the Chicago Bulls, again, in my mind, it's a 5-game series at most. 5 games at the most. Pacers may win game 3, or may win a game 4, but this at the most is a 5-game series. Pacers, Bulls, Jeremy, how do you see it?
Oh, same thing. In fact, I'm going to tell you, you're conservative, everyone is, to say, you know, give them the 5 games, give them the 1-game win. I'm not going to be surprised, and I mean this, Paul, I'm not going to be surprised to see it. A Bulls can come out, especially this Bulls team, and do the sweep. And the reason I say that and not against the Heat is the amount of pressure I think the Heat have, because everything is under such a microscope. Where the Bulls, to have the record they had, to have the year they had, even though they have, I mean, a great team and a great nucleus and individual players, no one is still expecting this production from this team. So I still say, you know, the Heat can't just focus on the playoffs where the Bulls can, and they are so much more talented than this Pacers team, and I see them, you know, making quick work of this.
And we could both agree on that one. We talked about the Sixers and the Heat. We have that going 6, obviously. I have it going 6. You have it going 5. I have it going 6 in a very competitive series. You have it going 5 in a competitive series. The Atlanta Hawks and Orlando Magic, an interesting series from this perspective. Last year, the Magic just wiped the floor with the Atlanta Hawks. Every game was a blowout. That series was not close at all. It was a sweep, and it was an easy sweep for the Orlando Magic. But this year, if you look at the regular season, the Atlanta Hawks have won the season series 3-1. They beat the Orlando Magic 3 times. During the regular season. So this may be a different Hawks team, but this is also a different Orlando Magic team. You've got a lot of people saying that the Magic are not as good as they were last year. They made a trade during the midseason, got Gilbert Arenas, brought in Hedo Turkoglu, brought in Jason Richardson. They're a different team. But the Orlando Magic is an interesting team to me. They're a team that, in my mind, can beat anybody, especially the way they shoot that three-point shot. The way they shoot the three-point shot, they can beat anybody. They can be anybody. And I think they'll win this series. And I think they'll win this series in 6. It won't be a blowout series like it was last year. But, I mean, I just think the Orlando Magic will have too much. It'll be too much Dwight Howard. They still really, truly have not addressed guarding Dwight Howard. So I think the Orlando Magic will get this series win, and I think they'll do it in six games, and I think they'll move on to the second round. Magic Hawks, how do you see the series, Jeremy?
Again, I'm going to probably take the total, not the opposite of you, but I couldn't agree. I think it's going to be exactly like it was last year. I see a five-game series max, most likely even a four-game series. And the reason I'll say it, and to a certain degree stand behind it, to me, I think what you saw last year, the problem with this Hawks team is they didn't make a change, and so how they have no answer for Howard, none. And that was the biggest issue in last year's series. He dominated, and he was able – the team dominated because he was able to dominate. They're not going to be able to stop him. Therefore, there's no way that they're going to be able to move forward.
Yeah, and I definitely truly agree with you on that one. I don't think they'll address – they have not addressed the Dwight Howard situation, and I think Dwight Howard will have a good series. And I just think the Orlando Magic, again, an interesting team to be a team that I believe can beat anybody in these playoffs. They can beat anybody. They can beat anybody. The way they shoot that three-point shot, they can beat anybody. So I like the Orlando Magic in this series as well. You like them in five, I like them in six. In an intriguing series, the New York Knicks have returned to the playoffs, which is always good. As much as I'm not a fan of the New York Knicks, it's always good when basketball is back in New York City. And basketball is back in New York City. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs. And again, this is maybe the most dangerous team in the playoffs right now. It's a very dangerous team. A very dangerous team. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to win the series, but I'm going to say they're dangerous. Anytime you have Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony, and Big Shot Chauncey Billups on your team, you have a shot. Now, this Knicks team does not defend. And one thing you can say about Boston's not a very good rebounding team. They are not a very good rebounding team. So you have a shot there. But the thing about the Knicks, they just don't defend. They don't defend. And that's going to be key. That is going to be key. They don't defend, and that could be a problem. Actually, Boston won the season series 4-0. They won every game in this series. In the season series. But I just think this Knicks team, they're a team with Billups, championship pedigree, a guy who is a big shot maker. You're not nicknamed Big Shot for nothing. So he's a big shot maker, and he's a big-time player. And Amari Stoudemire, again, he came here to revitalize basketball in New York, and he's had a great year. And also Carmelo Anthony, he's here in New York City. So you got two legitimate superstars of Stoudemire and Anthony. The Knicks will make this competitive. Boston's kind of limped into the playoffs as well. A team that limped in. They're a little banged up with Shaq. Shaq, we don't know his status at this point and how much he will be a presence in this series or even in these playoffs. But Jermaine O'Neal is there. And with Jermaine O'Neal, if you're a Celtics fan, hopefully Jermaine O'Neal can play some decent minutes for you and give you a nice push for you down low. But I like the Celtics in this series. I think the Knicks will show up. I think the Knicks will play well. But I just don't think they'll have enough for Boston in this series. And I like Boston instead. Jeremy?
No, that one I think I couldn't agree more. You said it all. I think you want to say, and smart money definitely says this, the Celtics, especially coming off of last year, they added pieces and they deserve the benefit of the doubt. But, the Knicks, they walk into the playoffs again with Chauncey Billups, who you really think looking into next year is going to be the key to that. To that team, and Amari Stoudemire, who they have been deep into the playoffs. They know what it takes to win. And then there's Carmelo Anthony, who is not exactly a bad player. So I don't think that you're going to be able to say, oh, well, you know, just because the regular season was dominated by the Celtics, so will the playoffs. I think it's six games, and I agree with you, only because the Celtics are in a bad position here long-term in the playoffs, and that's because, like you said, they walk into the playoffs injury-riddled. So they didn't limp into the playoffs. They're riddled with injuries. And for a team of that regard, that's what we talked about preseason, Paul, was what's going to happen when they get into the playoffs if they have these injuries. How are they going to be able to sustain themselves? And, well, here we are. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And you got a lot of people out here talking about Kendrick Perkins and that trade. And yes, maybe they do miss Perkins. But we'll see. I think the playoffs will tell us how much they truly miss Kendrick Perkins. I mean, a lot of people were up in arms about the trade. Perkins is not Bill Russell. Perkins is not a young Shaquille O'Neal. Perkins is not Will Chamberlain. But Kendrick Perkins is a hard-nosed, solid defensive center who does what he needed to do for Boston and help Boston become a very successful team. How much will they miss Kendrick Perkins is all up to how healthy Jermaine O'Neal is and how healthy Shaquille O'Neal is in these playoffs. If those guys are not healthy and not giving solid effort, then the Kendrick Perkins trade might have been a bad trade. But if those guys do what they have to do and Jeff Green comes in and does his thing, the Celtics will look good, Danny Ainge will look good, and the whole organization will look good for trading Perkins and adding a Jeff Green. And ultimately, if the Celtics can get to the NBA Finals and win the NBA Finals, then people will talk how great of a trade or how decent of a trade it was. But if they don't, Danny Ainge and those boys in the Celtics organization will definitely, from the crowd and from others, they definitely truly will hear it. So we'll definitely see what happens. And it definitely should be very, very, very interesting what happens during the Celtics and Knicks series. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
No, I couldn't agree. I think that series out of all of them, in terms of, you know, for the NBA, the as a frontline matchup, getting the fact that, you know, it's superstar laden on both sides of the ball, and the fact that, like you said, well, not everyone's a big fan of New York. You know, it's certainly love or hate them town. They bring a national appeal, and I think a lot of people are interested to see. Now that Carmelo has got his new team and Amari has his wingman, so to speak, what are they going to do? And what better of a team to have a test than the Boston Celtics? So I think the NBA, you know, they got the best first round matchup I think they could get. It's also not a bad thing when it's New York and Boston, the rivalry there. But from a standpoint of Kendrick Perkins, again, another, it's your sport, another great point. Last year he was a big cog in their wheel, and not having him, it could certainly, it could make for some waves in terms of should, I don't see them getting bounced by New York, but should that trade have been a mistake, I think a lot of people will point to the fact that they didn't necessarily, they panicked, they didn't need to make a move, they made moves out of reaction and not, you know, out of fundamentals. And that being said, I want to, into a certain regard, I want to be able to see where the Celtic organization, with all these injuries, is going to let these players come in. It's a great first round test against a New York team who is healthier, who is also trying to find themselves. The matchups, certainly, I think for the Celtics, they're certainly favored, but I say favor the test because they have to in this series, Paul. I mean, the way I look at it is they have to come out of this kind of recognizing against a quality New York team, what do they have on the bench? So when they go deeper and deeper into these playoffs and hopefully get healthier, what exactly, when they bring these players on the court, what are they going to get? It's important because the Celtics, I think, that was a big problem when they lost against the Lakers. And I think the Lakers bench outplayed them. It was the Lakers bench. They were deeper, faster, and stronger. And the Lakers had, the front five, I think, were phenomenal. I mean, and that was a big plus for them. Artest gave them, I think, the boost they needed in the starting five. And the Celtics, when they didn't and couldn't match up, it was quite obvious. And that's why I say I think a New York team that has been revitalized and with three premier players, and the biggest one of all, you and I think, see eye to eye on Chauncey Billups. He has, I think, the biggest ability to test the Celtics the most, because Chauncey Billups has been to the peak of the mountain. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get it done. There isn't a shot on the court he can't make. There isn't a player on the court he can't defend. And, you know, even at his age, you cannot sleep on him. And the fact that he has Stoudemire on one side and Carmelo on the other, I think it takes him back to, you know, his days in Detroit, where he was, you know, the most dangerous.
And let's switch gears now. We're going to switch gears to the NFL draft, and we're now going to be joined by former Villanova quarterback and now NFL prospect Chris Whitney. Chris, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And right now, Chris, I mean, looking at you during your time at Villanova, you were a do-it-all type of quarterback. I mean, you were an FCS champion. I mean, you threw for 22 touchdowns. You rushed for another 13 touchdowns. Two seasons ago, you almost rushed for 1,000 yards. Talk about the type of player that Chris Whitney is.
I think I'm just the type of player that does anything for the team to win the game. I mean, whether it's on 3rd and 3, dropping back for a pass and no one's open, getting the 3 yards with my feet, or throwing on 3rd and 15 down the field to get the first down. It's kind of just, I've been like this since high school, I mean, and even into college, just do whatever it takes for the team.
And Chris, Brian Westbrook, he came from Villanova. Recently you had Joe Flacco, who came from Delaware. Both of these guys, very successful in the NFL. Have you talked to any of these guys during this draft process?
No, I've actually, I've worked out a couple times with Kafka for the Eagles.
Okay.
I've been throwing with him a couple of times, and he's helped me. I mean, talking about just the process, the pro day, and all that stuff. And I mean, I've talked with one of our linemen who was at the combine, Ben Adulana, who's anywhere predicted the first round. I talked to him about it, and I just kind of try to go about the process. I mean, just trying to be myself. And just playing, I mean, going out like I did on, like, the pro day and just playing like it's another game.
So Chris, Paul and I were talking about before the show, I mean, and I think it'd be interesting to hear from you. Certainly, I'm sure everyone knows, Brian Westbrook comes and drafts from Villanova, and 2 years ago, Joe Flacco from Delaware. With respect to the fact that lately, as well, I think the NFL has become more accustomed to looking at the player rather than the player and the college. How is that going to help you, during this draft?
I mean, I think it'll help a lot. Before, it was kind of play at a big college that had a better chance to get in the NFL. But I think with everybody, I mean, with the roster at the big D1 level being so big and a lot of people transferring down to play, I think it'll ultimately, like you said, your talent and your individual ability, like you said, Flacco, you have the running back from Richmond a couple of years ago, Hightower. I think it's just people who don't get a lot of looks coming out of high school and for whatever reason it is, are able to get to college and showcase their talents. I mean, the difference between playing at Villanova and playing at a bigger D1 school is minuscule. I mean, just the talent-wise. I mean, the league I play in, the CAA, is probably the best league in D1AA. We pride ourselves on being one of the best leagues in D1AA. And I think it just shows with the talent that has come out the past couple of years into the NFL from our league.
And, Chris, you talked about the preparation involved and getting ready for this NFL draft. How hard has this been for you, getting ready for this draft and getting ready for your pro day?
It's a long process, especially because our pro day was scheduled originally for March 16th. And then it had gotten moved back to April 6th. One of the big reasons due to Ben had surgery, our lineman. So he needed a couple more weeks to prepare. But it's tough. I mean, it's grueling. It's a lot of working out, a lot of throwing. But it's exciting. I mean, we only get to do this once in our lifetime. And we all look at it that way, and we just go in it every day. We have I am lifting at my school with my strength coach, so all the guys I'm lifting with are preparing or trying to get drafted or picked up as a free agent, and we all know each other, so we just treat it as another day to get better with each other, just working out.
We're talking to Chris Whitney, former Villanova quarterback, and Chris is getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. Now, Chris, you had your pro day, and reports are you look pretty good. How do you think you did during the pro day?
I think I did well. I was really, really happy with the way I worked out, tested, and especially the way I threw, especially at the quarterback position. I think all of us know the big thing going into your pro day is how you throw. And I was very happy with the way I threw.
And Chris, talk to us about, you know, You play football your whole life. You're blessed to go to a major institution and play quarterback, star quarterback. What's it like now in terms of having a pro day and talking about the draft? I mean, when you look at your career and taking it to the next level, when you sat on the field on your pro day, what was running through your mind?
I get chills right now even just talking about it. It's kind of everyone's childhood dream growing up. I mean, I grew up, I was a huge Eagles fan. Still am a big Eagles fan. My big football player I looked up to growing up was Randall Cunningham. And then even after that, Donovan McNabb. It's just, I mean, it's exciting to see something you dream about your whole life to come to a reality at some point. I mean, and it's just, like I said, it's exciting to just think about it and realize I'm sitting here, I am working out for NFL scouts. I mean, I'm getting that chance to be able to show myself.
And Chris, you've worked out with the Packers, the Browns, the 49ers, and the Jets. Again, good reports from those workouts. How do you think those workouts went?
They were at the pro day. The big question that I think coming for me was my throwing, and I think I proved myself that I can throw and I can be a passer, and I think I did pretty well.
Is there any talk, Chris, for you? Would you be willing? Have anyone approached you and said, you know, Chris, would you be willing to maybe step outside of an NFL quarterback, or are you kind of willing to make your mark and come into an NFL team and seeing if there's other places that they can place you?
You mean as another position?
Yeah.
I've heard throughout the season someone had mentioned about, like, an H-back. And, ultimately, I've been a quarterback my whole life. I would love to be a quarterback. But I am willing to. I mean, like I said, it's just the way I come towards football. I mean, I just play the game, play it to win, and that's ultimately what matters. And if it means me playing another position, that's fine with me.
Has this been very stressful, Chris, this whole process?
It's been stressful. I mean, because it's just now it's a waiting game, that's probably the most stressful part, not to know. The part that's unknown, and I mean, and with the lockout and everything, and the free agency, I mean, it is. I get stressful at times.
And what about? What does a player in this year's draft, with all of the uncertainties? I mean, the lockout and a new CBA, Do you are you at that point? Are you looking kind of beyond, you know, the draft and seeing kind of what's going to happen, or are you right now just focused on what happens during the draft, getting hopefully on an NFL team and taking it day by day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of more like that, leaving it up, just taking it day by day. I keep on working out, keep working hard to the draft, see what happens, and just leave the other stuff to the people who are meeting. I mean, I'm just kind of trying, like you said, trying to get on an NFL roster.
We're talking to Chris Whitney, former Villanova quarterback, and Chris is preparing for the upcoming NFL draft. Now, Chris, have you gotten any indication on what round you may go in or who may draft you at this point?
No, not at this point. My agent even said to me he likes to keep the let me work out and keep that stuff to him, so it doesn't put any more stress on me than already working out and everything. So I haven't got any inclination about that.
And now, Chris, you talked about being a big Eagles fan and you're a Philly guy. Now, I know you want to get drafted by anybody. You want to get on anybody's roster. But how happy would you be if the Philadelphia Eagles called your name?
That would be unbelievable. I mean, like I said, that would be a childhood dream. Growing up in Philly, my whole family's in the Philadelphia area. I mean, that's part of the reason I went to Villanova, just because my mom was able to go. My mom went to every one of my college games in my career.
Wow.
And it would be unbelievable, like, accomplishment to be if they called my number.
And have you worked out for the Eagles at all?
No, they were at our they were at our pro day. Their workout day was the same day as our pro day, so
okay.
It kind of overlapped.
So when you go into these pro days, one of the things I always think is it's always interesting to hear, you know, the athlete's perspective on. And you had mentioned your agent said you let me worry about the business end and you keep up in your regimen. Football season's been over for you for a while. What do you do? And obviously for you, this is something you're trying to make a career. I mean, there are guys out there that are lawyers and doctors and CPAs, and they every day they wake up at 7 o'clock, they have their bowl of cereal, and they get in their car and so on and so forth. What do you do? What's a day for you like?
A big part of it is we work out Monday. We lift Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we usually run Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So we're working out 6 days a week, and I throw about 3 days a week. So I lift in the morning, we run in the afternoons, and a big part of it is just like, and also like eating right. I mean, getting in the right shape. During football season, it's kind of try to keep the weight on because you're playing every week and you're getting beat up. And now we're trying to get the right nutrition, right lifting, running, and throwing. So it's pretty busy.
Wow.
And you talked about how stressful this whole situation is, but this has to be a very tough time for a guy coming out of college. I mean, most of us, we come out of college, we're thinking about what's next, and what's next for you could be the NFL, could be something else, but this is a tough time for you, Chris. So it has to be.
Yeah, it's just like I said. It's just the unknown. It's what you don't know, and I think that's the most stressful part. Is just like all everybody knows, it's just a waiting game to see if anybody calls your number.
Do you have any plans for the upcoming draft? In terms of where you're going to watch it, in terms of parties or anything of that nature?
No, I'll probably just be hanging out at home with my family.
And, Chris, we hope that your name gets called, and if the name doesn't get called, we hope that you end up on somebody's roster. Chris, it was a pleasure talking to you, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck here, man. Good luck to with everything.
Thank you very much.
Chris Whitney, former Villanova quarterback and now NFL prospect. And, again, it's got to be a stressful time for him, and coming out of college, like I said, and it's just the unknown. He kept talking about the unknown, and That's got to be tough.
The interesting thing is hearing about, you know, I, that's why I always like to hear from their perspective how much goes into, you know, just even one day's work for him. You know, they work 6 days a week, and, you know, I think sometimes it's interesting to hear what someone else's career entails, you know, to walk a mile, if you will, in someone's shoes. It's not
right.
as easy, I think. Some people think, oh, I can do that. You know, I could work there. Well, I mean, you can, but do you? Did you?
Yeah, I mean, we all say we can do this and we can do that. But, you know, walking, like, we look at our situations or my situation going out of college. I mean, what's the unknown? What's next? I mean, I've done this for 4 years. What's next? What's next for me? I mean, that's the difficult part. That's the difficult part. And again, there's no guarantee that Chris Whitney will get drafted. There's no guarantee that Chris Whitney will, when it's all said and done, end up on an NFL roster. So what's next for Chris Whitney? And that's got to be very, very difficult. That's got to be very tough for him. Very
tough. Well, not only that, I think this is a difficult year for anybody coming out of college. They picked the wrong year. And that's because of everything that's swirling around. They pick.
That kind of does model up the situation a little bit. The unknown in terms of what's going to happen with the lockout and everything. Model up the thing a little bit.
I mean, look at a guy that, like Chris Whitney's an even better example. I mean, here's a guy who is just looking to get latched onto a team, but then there are teams now that, I mean, they may not want to make commitments only to players. They can make. Really, right now, you don't get drafted, and you're really, you know, sitting in limbo because you predominantly what happens right after a draft is a mini camp, and that's where you're able to invite non-drafted players to compete, and that's not going to happen. And then we have Goodell coming out in the last 2 days saying, "Well, Paul, I mean that basically they have already made contingency plans to move the Sewell back a week, and they are making contingency plans to, you know." If they had to, a game shortened season. So, I mean, is that a PR stunt? Sure it is. I mean, I think we all know that. It's absolutely evident that he's trying to shake the players up as much as the players are probably to shake him up. But that being said, I don't think anybody wants to hear. This is stuff nobody wants to hear. You don't want to keep hearing this stuff that, you know, well, we're not exactly even sure, you know, what's going to happen or when it's going to happen.
Let's be clear. There will not be any games missed because of this lockout. Nothing
we go again.
Will be missed. Nothing will be missed. You may miss a minicamp or an OTA or two, but at the end of the day, nothing will be missed. Nothing will be missed. Let's be clear, point blank, nothing will be missed. Russ Goodell can come out and say what he has to say. I mean, we had Drayton Florence on a few weeks ago, and he was told to prepare to miss 8 games. But I'm hearing all that. Yes, that's, you should prepare always for the worst and hope for the best. But the way I see it is this. There is no way that games will be missed. This will be taken care of. Too much money. If it makes money, it makes sense. If it loses money, it does not make sense.
I'm counting on you, Paul. I mean, I can't say that I agree with you, and I told you why many times. I think that you're playing with fire when you don't think that, and we talked about it last week. When you don't think that this is serious, that all of these, you know, players and these teams, they're not absolutely positively assured that they are not going to sit around when a player is making millions and an owner is making billions, and when it's all said and done, they have no health care, you know, they have no real benefits, no real much of anything, and the owners, though, they have it all at the player's behest. So that's why I say I caution you, Paul, to think that this is just going to work itself out because everybody's a good guy here.
Well, it's not about everybody being a good guy. It's about money. It's about is the almighty dollar. It's that green.
But if
there's an opportunity for money to be lost, they're going to take care of it. They have to. This is the golden goose, the NFL. I mean, it's printing money. This is the golden goose. The golden goose. The NFL. Come on. They're making everything. The ratings are doing great.
The money is doing great. They're putting everything in. It's for the owners.
The players are making some money, too.
Not enough.
They're making money, too.
All right.
Just their shelf life is not as long.
Their shelf life isn't as long, Paul, because they don't – I mean, the players, in my opinion – you know, I hate to say this, but the NFLPA, if there really was anybody up there that, and certainly they should be listening because I'm available, you know, call me anytime. If I'm the NFLPA, I would want, I would essentially want some ownership interest in the actual team. The NFLPA should say to the NFL, basically, we want 3% ownership of every, collective 3% ownership of every team, so that the NFLPA can start to, you know, to long-term profit off of the fact that, you know, Jim Brown was a trailblazer. Roger Staubach was a trailblazer. But like you say, his shelf life is over. I mean, when you're done throwing the football or running the football, when you're done, when you're Barry Sanders and you're done, but your legacy lives on the NFL forever. I mean, they are profiting on Barry Sanders. There's still Barry Sanders dolls being made, jerseys being sold. He doesn't see a red cent of that unless he does it himself. And if he does it himself, he's in violation to a certain degree because you can. It's not licensed apparel. It's not NFL licensed apparel. It's non-licensing apparel. So it can't be sold in certain stores because the NFL says to its business partners, it says what, Paul? To its business partners, you can't. If we catch you selling non-licensing apparel, we're yanking our stuff off of your shelf.
Again, in the words of the great Tina Turner, I really don't care who's wrong. I really don't care who's right. I just don't want these guys to fight anymore, and I just want these guys to come together and get this thing right. And they will. They will. They will get it right. They will get it right. And anybody that's nervous, concerned, or anything, don't be concerned. Don't be concerned. Football will be arriving here in September. The leaves will fall off the trees in September and October. The snow will come in November and December. And the Super Bowl will happen in February. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just like the seasons change, football will be here in September. It will be here. Don't worry. They will get it right. They have to get it right. Too much money at stake here. Too much money at stake here. Too much money at stake here for this not to get taken care of. It has to get done. It has to get done. And the players and the owners, they had their second day of negotiations on Friday. No progress has really been reported at this point. But this is court order mediation. And so right now, we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens, but it will come together. It will come together, and these two sides are expected to come back to the table on Tuesday.
You really are it's very naive. I think it's admirable, but it's very dangerously naive to not think, Paul, and I mean this, that, you know, if I'm an NFL player, I'm really going to take a long, hard look at this. Could be, and it should be, you know, a game changer. Meaning, don't be so quick to take the first deal and not look at the long-term implications of where you are. Don't be so fast to let these owners just say, okay, here's what it's going to be, here's how it's going to be, take your leave in and goodbye. Respect the fact that as a conglomerated effort group, the players, they are in direct partnership with these teams, and that's a group of, that's the whole league, you know, the collective NFLPA. every player from the first NFL player till the last one drafted this year, they are partners, because without every player, Paul, no stadium is filled. No jersey is sold. But yet there is only one owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, so to speak. You can have an ownership group of 10 owners, but it should be, if there's 10, there should be 11. And that should be a, you know, a minority group interest in the Players Association. And I'm stoking the fire there, because I really do. I mean, I think these players, for far too long, they are being pimped by I think, a league that does exactly that. They just sit there and they pimp these players.
Well, it's kind of hard to say you're getting pimped when you're making millions of dollars.
That's it, Paul. That's a good hoe. That's a good hoe. They sit on the corner and they listen to the pimp daddy and he brings them, you know, many riches. But when he leaves them, when that organization cuts you and says you're no longer right for us, you know, you're not at your peak, things are sagging a little bit, and it's not right for us. You go from being, you know, the soup du jour to the soup of the day.
Well, yes, and that's true. But at the end of the day, I can't. If you want to talk pimps and prostitutes, let's talk NCAA. Let's not talk to these NFL guys. These guys are making money. These NCAA guys, those are the ones who are truly, really getting pimped. They're not making any money. They're making a whole heck of a lot of money for these universities. And they're the ones who are getting pimped. Let's be real. I'm not going to sit here and call an NFL player a prostitute. I'll call an NCAA player a prostitute. But I will not call an NFL player a prostitute. I will not call an NBA player a prostitute. I won't call him a prostitute. I don't really think that it's necessarily fair to call someone who is making millions of dollars a prostitute. If that's the case, we're a whole bunch of prostitutes out there, some making $40,000, some making $50,000, some making $60,000. There's a lot of prostitutes running around. Let's take a caller. Hello, you're on GoFort.
Yeah. Jeremy's right. They are prostitutes.
How so?
I mean, it's like, instead of working for Pimp Daddy, you know, on the corner, they work for Heidi Fleiss.
They could work for me. So, I mean, this is the thing, Paul. You don't get this. They could work for me. They could work for you. The only difference is when they work for Jeff Lurie, what he's convinced them is his corner will bring you easy, quick money. My corner, it's yet to be established. I need a new stadium, because on that stadium, if they come to work for me, then I could build my stadium. And that's the long-term problem.
I think we're going a little too far with this analogy, comparing guys who are making millions upon millions of dollars, and we're calling them prostitutes.
Paul, you don't think they
signed up for what they signed up for?
So
they decided to make the decision to go out to the field. They're not prostitutes.
They are prostitutes. It's just plain and simple. The guys are prostitutes. They're not getting what they deserve. And you look at it. I mean, I could go
If that's the case, then we're a world full of prostitutes, because no one truly gets what they deserve.
I'm talking about disparity wise. We're talking about disparity and a person putting in a good, honest day of work, and they're not getting what. If you take the life of an NFL player, they play for a short time period, but the effects of the time that they did play, for a lot of them, are lasting a lifetime, and a lot of their lives are cut short. And there's all types of statistics to prove this.
Yes, I understand that, but that's what they chose to do. That's what they chose to do.
But Paul, that's not a prostitute,
if that's the case, going off your analogy, if we can go on that analogy, I think we have a world full of prostitutes, because no one gets what they deserve. The McDonald's guy who's putting the burgers together, they don't get what they deserve, because they're the ones that make it happen.
Hey, Paul, here's what you're missing. Keep talking over me, and you can't. When you're in school and the teacher's talking, you got to raise your hand when you want to speak. So let the teacher talk and learn something. The difference between McDonald's worker and the NFL player or the athlete in today's world is that the McDonald's worker, Paul, the ownership of McDonald's to a certain degree, they don't. There is a million people that can do that job. It's a very limited focus group of how many people can be professional athletes. The athletes,
right.
in their total athletes, all of them in all professional sports.
But
and that's
okay,
why
yeah,
go
let's go with that. Let's go with that premise. But
let
I mean,
me finish. Go back to
Let me finish.
There's Roger Staubach. I mean, you can go to Sugar Ray Leonard in boxing. When you look at athletes as a totality, without the athlete, there is no sport. But the ownership gets the riches long and short term. The athlete is only in the minute. And the problem of all professional and collegiate athletics is there's total disparity in terms of what the athlete means to the overall sport. And the bottom line is, until I'm not disagreeing with you, Paul, until the athlete steps back and says, hey, wait a minute, this has got to change. It never will. If I was an owner, I wouldn't do that. I'm saying to you, though, I would not, Paul, be so quick to say that people of the minute, these NFL players of this minute, haven't realized that they need much, much more long-term security than, you know, a $50 million check. And that's it. When their jersey will be sold in perpetuity, if, for example, you just so happen to be a Joe Montana.
And we thank you for your call. I mean, I think going off your premise, honestly, we have a society full of prostitutes because no one truly gets what they deserve. No one gets what they truly deserve. No one in any field, no one gets what they deserve. It's just the reality of the situation. It is what it is. It is what it is. Now, unless you're an athlete, I mean, unless you're, yes, you know, the athletes, they have a certain window to make a certain amount of money. But the reality of it is, it doesn't last forever. And the reality of it is, of all of that, yes, you have that certain window, but you're getting paid very, 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 very well.
Mm.
We're now being joined by rapper, actor Romeo Miller. Romeo, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
It's good to have you on today, sir.
It's all
and
love.
Now, Romeo, you play Division I basketball, and the NBA playoffs start today. A great time of the year. You excited?
I'm really excited. I'm actually watching one of my best friends play right now, Derrick Rose.
Okay. Is D-Rose doing his thing?
Yeah, he's doing his thing. You know, I feel this season is definitely going to be about that star player taking over, just like I predicted UConn winning. I predicted UConn winning 5 months ago because of a player named Kemba Walker. I feel if you got that star player that can take you over, that's what you need in the March Madness and in the NBA playoffs going down the line.
So Romeo, let me take this, Paul. So I want to hear this because I'm a big D Rose fan. You're going to go out there and say that he will head to head go up against LeBron James, and this is his coming out party. This is his year.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been telling people this from the beginning. You know, I worked out with D every summer. He come out to Cali, we work out, and his work ethic is crazy. If you look at him, I think he only made 38 threes in the last 2 years. This year he made like 130. So it definitely shows, you know, when you put in the work, you know, it definitely is showing. I think he's a rising star. You know, he's the face of this NBA. He's a young player. And any time my five-year-old brother changes his favorite player from Kobe Bryant to Derrick Rose, that's a sign right there.
Romeo, you have the Bulls out there out east, but you're also with that 6'3 in Miami who's playing some pretty decent basketball, and you got those Boston Celtics who are still around and who are the Eastern Conference champions. You expect the Bulls to get by then?
This is why I love basketball, because it's one of those things when it comes to playoff, you don't know. It's whoever step up to the quake, to that big day. The Bulls is a team I feel they could play with anybody, but when you have veterans, you know, like the Celtics, they kind of remind me of my dad and the Jay-Z's in the music world. You can never count them out. And that's the same with the Lakers. Lakers used to win, and they know how to win when the big games come. That's why I think those teams are real dangerous, like the Celtics and Lakers. But my picks right now, I like the Lakers in Chicago.
You like the Lakers? You like the Lakers out west? and you left Chicago out east.
Yeah,
what
but this
in
is
the
thing. Yeah, this is the thing. When you have a team like Miami with star players like D-Wade, LeBron James, anything is possible. I don't care who you have around those guys, you know. So they're definitely going to be dangerous. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see them in a championship because when you have players with that caliber, you know, they're going to do everything in their best to get to that next level. But then on the other side, you got teams like the Celtics, which I feel they made a couple bad trades. So we'll see how that works off in the playoffs for them.
You mentioned your dad and of course, your basketball, you know, history. So this is probably, I guess, for your family and as for Paul's, like, this is the most exciting time of the year. Right after March Madness, you go right into the NBA playoffs, and you get it's basketball 24/7.
Let me tell you, this is the most excited time of the year for me, and I can't even enjoy it. You know, I'm going Dancing with the Stars. I rehearse 9 to 8 hours a day. I basically missed a lot of March Madness. This is the first year I wasn't able to catch, like, I only caught, like, two games. But I predicted UConn was going to win because that was the only team I was checking out from the beginning. But it's really hard because this is a favorite, my best time of the year for me to watch basketball. I can't do it because now I'm becoming a professional ballroom dancer with Dancing with the Stars.
And Romeo, a funny thing, I mean, you were Little Romeo for a while, and then you changed to just Romeo, and now I see you got your chest hanging out everywhere I see you, man. You got any shirts? Do you own shirts?
Yeah. No, I definitely have to say college basketball definitely helped me out physically, you know. Going to college, playing at USC and D1 basketball, people don't understand the work that you put in just to play at that level, you know. I remember training, you know, for long hours of the days, doing working muscles that I never knew I even had, so it definitely paid off. And, yeah, I got a shirt somewhere around. I just don't like wearing it on these spring days.
And, Romeo, like you said, you are on Dancing with the Stars right now. And I got to say, man, I've been pretty impressed by some of your moves. Maybe you could teach me a little bit. But talk about the preparation for this thing.
Yeah, it's so funny because I just ran into Jerry West out in Beverly Hills, and he was like, people think basketball will have you in the best shape, but dancing is a whole nother level. And I've been able to experience that firsthand. You know, I played basketball my whole life, college basketball. And this dancing got me in shape, another shape. Like, my vertical is now 42 inches. It increased by 2 inches. I'm quicker. I'm faster. And it definitely is a great workout. It's a lot of hard work. Y'all know I'm not the best dancer, but I'm one of those people I feel if you put the hard work in, you know, anything's possible at the end of the day. And that's why I'm doing this. You know, I want to show kids don't be afraid to fail. I think that's a big problem. A lot of kids are afraid to take that game-winning shot. I want to show them don't be afraid to do that. I'm doing this for my foundation, Urban Born. You go to urbanborn.org. I just want to show kids you got to dream big.
Well, you know, and Romeo, it's Paul and I were talking before the show. We were actually just kind of commenting, getting our bearings right. You're October, you'll be 22, and that's spoken like someone who is much older than 22. And the fact that you recognize, coming from the background you did, where, A, you don't have to play basketball in D1, B, you don't need to be in the movies or on TV, and certainly you don't need to go out and do something as non-atypical for, a rapper, the son of a rapper, and a D1 basketball player such as dancing. But
yeah.
To say you want to show kids not to be afraid,
yeah,
and that you're doing it for a charity, certainly helps, I hope, set the standard out there for young kids that it's not about, you know, what you can't do or what you're not going to do. It's about what you can do and what you have to do.
Yeah, well, me, you know, I was able to see both sides of life. You know, my pops being from the Calio Project, you know, I was able to see that life. And then, you know, my dad wanted to make it out. I seen a whole other side, so I seen the good and the bad. And what I took from that, you know, I lost my two first cousins at an early age. I saw them die with my own eyes. And I really realized that life is precious and you do only live it once. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people feel like the world revolves around them. A lot of people don't understand. If I die today, the world is going to keep going. So what I do is I do as much as I can every day for these kids and for our future because the kids is our future. You know, I remember my dad, you know, telling me how he had inspirational speakers came to his school and how that changed his life to make him want to do better. And that's what I do with my foundation, Urban Boy. Me and my pops go to places that nobody ever think about. We go to the worst schools, the worst projects. We want to give these kids hope because that's all they need. You know, a lot of people nowadays, they're afraid to fail. They're afraid to be that kid that's getting laughed at. I was always the kid in school. I raised my hand when I didn't know something. I went to the front of the class. And the dropout rate now is 3 for every 10 high school students. And that's a problem, you know, because every kid in high school should be graduating. And the only reason they're not because they're afraid to fail. And that's what I'm doing this show. You know, I'm doing Dance with the Stars. I'm not a dancer at all. I come from the hip-hop world. You know, I want to show kids if I can do this, if I can overcome this, then anything is possible.
And Romeo, you talked about your pop, Master P, the original No Limit Soldier. He was on Dancing with the Stars himself. Didn't do too well. Are you trying to win this thing for the Miller family? Are you trying to get the Dancing with the Stars family for the Millers?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely trying to do this for the Miller legacy. A lot of people don't know my pops was never supposed to do this show. I don't think Dancing with the Stars would have ever approached my pops in the first place. But I ended up hurting my leg season 2 because I played basketball my whole life in elementary, middle school, high school. So I hurt my leg during a basketball game. And it was one day prior to the show when my dad came in. He saved the day for me. And I told him, if you do this for me, I'll come back one day and I'll redeem the Miller name and I'll come back and do it. And a lot of people don't even understand. My dad did that for Hurricane Katrina, too. You know, that's when Hurricane Katrina happened. And he wanted to show people that even somebody of his caliber, you know, coming from the streets, you know, he wasn't expected to do something like that, that it's okay to step out your comfort zone. And I think my dad just showed a good message. And I think he opened that show up a lot of doors. They went out and started getting people they never would have thought of getting because I felt my dad really put it on another platform.
And your partner for Dancing with the Stars, and we're talking to Romeo Miller, rapper, actor, and Romeo right now is on Dancing with the Stars, but your partner for Dancing with the Stars is Chelsea Hightower. How's it been working with her?
You know, working with Chelsea, it's really great. You know, me and her being the youngest two on the show, she really gets me. You know, being young, you can sometimes, you know, tend to goof around and like to have more fun. And it's a perfect balance. You know, she know when to get things done and she know when to have fun. And I couldn't ask for a better partner. And as the weeks go by, you know, it started off as a nightmare for me. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do these dances, this choreography. But now it's like a dream. You know, I got this great teacher, this great girl, this great friend now. And I want to win this for her. You know, she never won the Dancing with the Stars Mirror Trophy Ball. And I want to do this for her, and I want to do this for all the fans across the world and all the kids across the world. Show them, don't be afraid to try. And I'm really serious about this day now. You know, I'm not the best of dancers, but I'm going to put in the work. And that's the thing about me being a college basketball player. I'm very competitive. We won the first Pac-10 title my freshman year at SC, and that's what I want to do here. I want her to win that first Mirror Trophy Ball with me.
So one of the things you had mentioned about your dad and Dance with the Stars, I thought that was interesting how you had mentioned he kind of opened up some doors for Dancing with the Stars for them to look outside of their window. And I hear you, it's almost as if I think, and I want to hear you expound on this, your relationship with your dad and the way in which, you know, you got, as you had mentioned, you got to see so many different sides of things. It gives you, it sounds like, a very competitive advantage to walk out in the world and see things from very different viewpoints. From the fact that certainly you're very competitive, maybe winning this when your dad didn't, but it also, you can show younger kids, hey, don't be afraid to do other things. You seem to have a very multi-discipline thought process that you very much, you look back and forward at the same time.
Yeah, that's really coming from my father. You know, my dad is like my best friend. When I did my TV show on Nickelodeon, he was there with me. When I went on tour, my dad was there with me. And he definitely shaped me up to be the person I am today. You know, we don't party, you know. We only go out if we have to. And my dad showed me just about survival and about the business side. You know, my dad never categorized himself as a rapper. You know, he categorized himself as a businessman, you know, entrepreneur. It was always bigger than just music. And that's what my dad is showing me, and he's showing me it's definitely a bigger picture. And the thing I like about my dad, he always sends me these Bible scriptures every day, not every Sunday. Every day he sends me a different Bible scripture to my email. I read it. It's very inspirational. And the one thing I learned from my dad is no matter how much money you make, you know, you gotta remember your roots. You got to remember where you come from. And you got to remember that you're not God. I remember my dad telling me that his younger days, his family looked to him as if he was God. And he had to tell them that money, just because he made a lot of money and just because he was able to support people, that he's not God. And I think that's where a lot of these rappers and successful people get confused now. You know, they want to be above. They want to be praised. And you got to realize that everything happens for a reason. You know, I remember my dad sending me his Bible scripture saying that if God bless you with money, if God bless you with a happy home, a happy family, you need to go and try to make another family a happy family and teach them. And that's what it's all about. It's about giving back, you know. If you're giving something, you definitely got to give back if you're in that position. And that's what I learned from my dad. I learned there's no limit. Life have no limits.
In Romeo 20:11, God has truly been good to you. Right now you're doing Dancing with the Stars, and now you're about to appear in an upcoming movie, Jumping the Broom. It comes out May 6th. Tell us a little bit about this movie.
Yeah, well, Jumping the Broom, first off, is going to be a classic. Everybody has to go see it Mother's Day. Go see it 10, 15 times. This movie would definitely change your view of life. It would make you appreciative. And it has an all-star cast. It has Angela Bassett, Paula Pavin, Laz Alonso, Mike Epps, Megan Good, Pooch Hall, D-Ray Davis, a lot of other big names in there. And it's one of those movies that is going to make you laugh, it's going to make you cry, and it's going to make you think at the same time. And I play this character named Sebastian, and he's actually the youngest in the movie, but he's kind of the most mature. You know, he's trying to teach these guys how to treat a real woman. And that is definitely a great movie. You know, it's about two families, and it shows that, you know, they come from two different sides of the world, but how everybody is the same. And that's what everybody don't realize. Everybody is the same. Everybody's born the same way. You know, everybody has a heart. You know, everybody has two eyes, and that we're all human, and everybody is just human. And this movie will definitely humble you and make you appreciative of life. And it's called Jumping the Broom. It comes out this Mother's Day, and it's one of those movies you got to take the whole family to see.
Is that this movie? I'm sure all movies and being on the set is fun, but take us through the production process for you. Not just this. Was this happening at the same time as Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, well, this Dancing with the Stars actually been trying to get me to do the show for a couple seasons now. You know, I was playing college basketball. I wasn't allowed to do anything while I was doing that. And then I was filming this movie last summer, so I wasn't able to do Dance with the Stars then. So it kind of worked out in place. You know, like I said, God does everything for a reason, and I really do feel everything happens for a reason. You know, it was perfect timing. And the filming process for this movie was really interesting because we basically filmed in the middle of nowhere. We went all the way up north in Canada to Halifax, Canada, which is a lot different from L.A., you know, in Beverly Hills. I didn't have no HDTV. I actually had a VCR in my room. And this movie, because of that, it brought everybody together like a real family. And this being a family movie, you could really see that when you watch this movie. It's not like you're watching a movie. It's like you're watching a reality TV show on the family. And I had to definitely say our scenario definitely help bring us closer together.
And Romeo, we talked about Dancing with the Stars. We talked about Jumping the Broom. But what's going on with Romeo musically?
Yeah, well, the main thing about being successful, a lot of people don't know, is about time management. And, you know, right now I got Dancing with the Stars, but I definitely, my new single actually It's hitting radios right now. It's blowing up. It's crazy. It's called Famous Girls featuring Sean Kingston. And it'll be on iTunes in a week, but you can get the first sneak peek on my website at RomeoFever.com. I'm definitely about to bring back the No Limit Soldiers. You know, I'm the president of No Limit Forever Records now. You guys can go to NoLimitForeverRecords.com to check out some of my artists. I got my little brother, Valentino. I got my new group, which had one of the top singles last summer, the College Boys. I got Black Don, Lil D, The First Lady, Miss Chi, Benji, Gangsta, Tebow, and the list goes on. So we definitely bring the soldiers back. We got a compilation album coming out, and my dad make appearance on that. We got Silk the Shocker, and we got Mystical. It's called Family Business. So the music is definitely, I'm coming back this year, and I actually, my mixtape is basically like an album, but since my fans been there for me, I got loyal fans. I wanted to give them a mixtape before the album. So the mixtape is called I Am No Limit. You'll get songs like Famous Girl featuring Sean Kingston. You'll get Don't Push Me featuring Gucci Mane. I got Look At Me featuring my uncle, Silk the Shocker. I got another joint with my dad. I forgot the name of it. With Meek Mill. It's with Meek Mill.
Okay.
And we got a lot of surprises on this. So the mixtape I'm No Limit comes out. And we just keeping it going. Right now I'm pushing my new single, Famous Girl. It's crazy. Make sure y'all go check it out. You go on my Twitter. I give updates all the time. At Romeo Miller. And then go to my website, RomeoFeather.com.
And you talked about the song Famous Girl featuring Sean Kingston. You named a lot of chicks in that song, Romeo. If you had to pick one, which one of these famous girls which one of these famous girls is going home to Papa? Which one of these famous girls are you going to bring home to Master P?
I can't have all the famous girls.
Nah, you got to pick one.
All right, if I had to pick one, right now, I'd probably have to say Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I can go with somebody like Oprah, too, you know. I love strong, smart women. Like, smart, I love smart. Like, that's the most beautiful thing. When a woman got a beautiful brain, she's got her education, that's the most attractive thing to me. So I'm going to go with Vanessa Hudgens. You know, Oprah Winfrey, holler at me.
No, well, I mean,
I like Jennifer Lawrence.
Oprah and Vanessa, Romeo, that's a weird vision right there. I hear you with the strong woman, because Oprah's got to be strong. I mean, she's packing it in. Wow.
You see, it go from A to Z with me, so, you know, you never know.
You went from A to D, I think more than Z. I think you went to double Z, maybe triple Z.
Yeah. I like somebody like Michelle Obama. You know, I want somebody that's gonna be able to hold me down, be my body. You know.
There we go, Michelle Obama.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah, like that.
But I was listening to the song "Famous Girl," and I'm. You're in the movie with the likes of Megan Good or Paula Patton. I mean, those girls didn't get into the song.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those songs where I wish I could put everybody in there. But I did the song, and, like, it was so much going on, and there's so many other people I wanted to put in there, too. But, you know, like, it just happens sometimes, you know. There's nothing against them, you know. I love them. They're going to be in the video, though, you know. So I definitely got them for the video. The song, I was kind of blacking out. It was too many famous girls. I didn't even put my all-time crush, Adriana Lima, in the song.
Right.
So, you know,
Wendy Williams in the song. You put Wendy Williams in the song. That was kind of interesting.
It was perfect timing. You know, I was doing the show Dancing with the Stars. I had a beautiful cast of women, and I wanted to show love to them because everybody on the show, we came together as a family. And like I said, it was perfect timing, you know. That's when I was doing the song. And hopefully Megan showed me some love in the video. That's my girl. She know I love her, though.
Romeo, you're doing a lot of stuff right now. Acting, dancing, rapping. I mean, I how do you find time to do it all, man?
Definitely God, you know. without God, none of this would be possible. And you just got to be appreciative, you know. The only thing I could complain about is, you know, learning a dance or having too much work. That's not a problem at all. We got soldiers fighting for us out there every day. We got kids and people with cancer, people losing their lives. And I was able to see life. You know, I seen both sides of life. You know, I grew up, I was in the hood and I was in the suburbs, and I definitely thank God does everything for a reason. He had me see everything I seen for a reason. I'm just appreciative. You know, you got to be appreciative of life and always know that life could be worse. That's how I look at it. It could always be worse. I can't complain.
And real quickly, Romeo, I want to move to the dunk contest real quickly. We all knew Blake Griffin was going to be the favorite. But your friend, DeMar DeRozan, who
my
you played with
friend.
At USC, he
yeah.
had some great dunks in that contest. Do you think your boy got robbed?
I definitely think he got robbed. You know, Blake Griffin's an amazing player, had an amazing season. But I think people kind of looked at that part and not really the dunks. If he was going off dunks, DeMar did his dunk in his warm-ups. And
right.
I really feel that's how life is, though. You know, you got to overcome certain obstacles. You know, when you're a big man on campus, that's how it is. And Blake's definitely a terrific dunker. I'm not taking that away. But I really felt my boy, DeMar DeRozan. I think he even should have won it last year. You know, he should have
right.
been in the top two this year to show, because he had some amazing dunks. So I don't think y'all going to be able to see him. I don't know if he's going to do it again, but he had some amazing dunks he wanted to show the world, and he didn't have the opportunity to show it, but I definitely think he should have had it this year.
And, Romeo, just so we're clear, you have the Bulls and the Lakers in the NBA Finals, right?
I got the Lakers winning the whole thing regardless.
Lakers
winning the whole thing. You got a player. Kobe Bryant is like my dad. You know, I don't care how old you get. When you have somebody that know the game, like Kobe Bryant do, and then with the supporting cast that he got in playoff time, I don't really see he's going to beat them in that many games. But on the East, you got some star players that's breaking out. You got the, you know, you got the Heat. I feel that anything is possible with LeBron and D-Wade on the same team. Like, anything
right.
is possible with them two. And then, like I said, I see the Bulls, a young, great team. With Derrick Rose, it's just how hard Derrick pushed himself. You know, Derrick usually in the past, he kind of hold back. But I think if he let loose and not afraid to take over, they could do some damage.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's Romeo's prediction. He has the Bulls and the Lakers in the NBA Finals, and he has the Lakers three-peat. You got the three-peat
yeah.
with the Los Angeles Lakers. Romeo, I'm going to disagree here with you. I like the Miami Heat to get to the NBA Finals. I think those three,
yeah.
Wade, Bosch, and LeBron, they're going to put this thing together. And out West, I like the Lakers, but I
yeah.
do like the Lakers
no,
to win it all.
No,
again.
I don't agree with you on the Heat. You know, I got the Lakers winning the whole thing. It's a 50-50, the Chicago and Miami. I do feel that Miami going to make some noise. It's going to be very hard to beat them. So, you know, it's 50-50 right there. But I got the Lakers winning the whole thing, so that's all that matters.
No, he's
Romeo, was definitely a pleasure. It definitely was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Make sure you check out Romeo, Dancing with the Stars, ABC, Mondays at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, Tuesdays, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Make sure you check out my man Romeo here, and make sure you vote for this guy. Vote for this guy.
Okay.
Keep him on the show. Keep him on the show.
I need him.
And Romeo, yeah. how can people vote?
Well, everybody could vote. Go to abc.com on Monday. Make sure y'all lock this number in y'all phones, 1-800-868-3405. Call that number as many times as possible. You can also go to my Twitter, at Romeo Miller. I give you all the updates right there.
And Romeo, give me that number one more time so that everybody can hear it.
Everybody, lock this number down right now. It's 1-800-868-3405.
Romeo Miller,
it was a pleasure. You can also vote to 3405 as well.
There you have it. You got all the numbers there. You got the Twitter page. Make sure you check this out, abc.com. Vote for my man Romeo. Keep him on the show. Romeo, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with your acting, with the rapping, and with Dancing with the Stars, sir. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it. There's no limit, y'all.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Romeo Miller, Dancing with the Stars. He's doing it all right now. He's doing big things. Doing real big things. And he seems a very positive young man, very positive. Talked about the impact his father had on his life. Talked about the importance of God. And you got to give the young man a lot of credit. He's been very successful at this point.
Yeah,
he's doing it all.
Very impressive, you know, speak with. Humbling, I think, makes you kind of wonder, you know, how, like I said, how a guy is so young, yet sounds a lot older than that. And especially, and we have 20 minutes left, so I think you and I need to get, and it's a good way to change gears, down to where we see these playoffs playing out. So Romeo said it, and you disagreed, but I tried to agree with him, and I'm going to tell you, Paul, you're sadly mistaken. This is the Lakers championship to lose, period. They have a much. The West is certainly. Hear me out. The West is certainly, and there's no question about it. It's not. Don't sleep on the West. Nowhere near as competitive. The East is going to bat. It's going to bruise and bang everybody, and that's why I say it's just. I'm going to tell you, coming out of the East, you're not going to make it out alive.
Well, the West is tough. The West is very, very tough. And he talked about the Lakers, but I think we forget about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and those boys, the addition of Kendrick Perkins. And now Perkins is a guy that helps Oklahoma City now to be able to match up with the Los Angeles Lakers, to be able to match up with that front line of Bynum, to be able to match up with that front line of Gasol, you know, and Odom. I mean, now with Perkins in the mix, you now can match up with those boys. And people tend to forget this. People tend to forget this. You got to forget this. People forget this. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder in that game 6, it was a putback by Pau Gasol. But that series easily could have went 7 games. It was a Pau Gasol putback from going 7 games. Now you add Kendrick Perkins into the equation. Does that happen? Does Perk box out Gasol, and does Gasol actually get that opportunity? People forget that. The Oklahoma City Thunder played the Lakers very, very, very tough in that series. That was a competitive 6-game series, and a series that easily, it probably should have went 7 games. But now you add Perkins into the mix. This is a whole different beast in Oklahoma City, a whole different beast right now, a whole different beast. They're a different team with Kendrick Perkins.
I'm not
Paul. That was a great addition.
But I don't know. I guess, like, I wonder then from you, I mean, and I mean this, you know, to me, you look at, again, year to year, this Lakers team doesn't change, and, you know, they're walking. When you look at the East, You're sitting here, you're breaking it down about the right now the Celtics, and you look at each of these, Matt. We were just talking about, before the guest came on, about how, you know, the East has the next layer of the East. It's 3 major matchups right in a row. I think, ultimately, we all kind of see the way the East is going to play out to get to that NBA Finals, to represent the East, you're really, it's not going to be an easy trail. The West and the Lakers, they know what to expect, Paul. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to, I certainly don't want to disagree, you know, with you. There's a lot of talent, but still, there's absolutely positively, Paul. There's also, there's a lot of young, untested players in the West. This is Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol. They've done this now how many years in a row, Paul? Don't sleep on the fact that, you know, the Lakers know exactly what to do and exactly how to get it done.
And they have that championship pedigree. You're right. They didn't let them into the playoffs, excuse me. But with Kobe, with Gasol, with Lamar Odom, they're a team. They're just championship tested, tried and true. And I just think they'll continue on this march to the championship, and I think they'll get it. I think the Lakers will ultimately win. Oklahoma City is going to be tough. Oklahoma City is going to be tough, tough. That is going to be tough. I think they'll beat the Spurs. I think it'll be anybody, including Oklahoma City. But I would not be surprised if Oklahoma City is the team that represents the West in the NBA Finals. I would not be surprised if that happened.
So who's A? Where? What's your final look like? And then who's winning it? Let's go. You know, finals. You know, toe to toe here.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
I think it's time for you and I to start. Unless, of course, you're not ready and willing. But I think it's time to go toe to toe. Take me through your championships, and then ultimately, who's going to represent? Where do you see the final in terms of the East and the West?
Well, out East, in terms of what's going on in the Eastern Conference, I like what Miami's doing right now. This is a team with LeBron, with Bosh, with Wade. I think that is coming together on some level. They're defending very well. They blew out the Boston Celtics to end the regular season, or I think it was a game before the end of the regular season. But anyway, they blew out the Boston Celtics, and they did their things. This is a team I think that's coming together right now at the right time. And I'll say this. It's a lot of pressure on this team to win. And I think this team will respond to that pressure. I think they'll respond to that pressure. And I really think with LeBron James and with Dwayne Wade, these guys, especially LeBron James, he has a lot to prove. And I'm a firm believer of individuals who have a lot to prove. They tend to prove it, and I think he'll prove it. I think LeBron James will prove it. I think Dwayne Wade will continue to play like Dwayne Wade has been playing. I think Chris Bosh will step in and do what he has to do as well. I like the Miami Heat. Right now, a team I think that has come together, Boston, a team that doesn't look the same without Kendrick Perk. They don't look the same to this point. They don't look the same without Perk. They just don't. Now, we'll see what happens once the playoffs start, but they don't look the same. They don't look the same. In Chicago, I just don't think they're ready. I just don't think they're ready. D. Rose is great, had a great year. Boozer is cool, and Joakim Noah does his dirty work. But I just think the Miami Heat right now is the team that's going to come out of the Eastern Conference. And I think LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are going to really put it in full gear in these playoffs. And I like them to come out of the Eastern Conference and to represent the Eastern Conference in the finals. I like the Miami Heat. I think they're going to get it done. And speaking of Chicago Bulls, they're actually losing 69-57 in the third quarter. So that game is going on right now, and Chicago Bulls are losing right now. They're down 12 points to the Indiana Pacers. So all of us who are talking Chicago, right now they're losing by 12, third quarter, still early. In the NBA, everybody makes their runs. But I like the Miami Heat to come out of the East. And I think the series against the Sixers is really going to help them, because I think it's going to be a tough competitive series and they're going to be better for it. So I like the Miami Heat to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA final.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised that I definitely think the favorite in the East is it seems like everyone thinks that, you know, that the Heat just can't be stopped and they won't be stopped. And I'm going to tell you right now, they will be stopped. I'm going to tell you the winner of everything before it's done, which is, rest assured, the Lakers win this. And I'll even tell you right now, Lakers win. They're going to win the finals in six games. They're going to buzz through the final series, and that's because when they play, and they're going to go up against the Orlando Magic, who will walk in and be awestruck, and they'll get two games in. And the reason why I say it's going to be the Orlando Magic is because the Celtics are too injured, and that's what we keep talking about. And I think they are going. This team needed a Kendrick Perkins. I think it will be proven they shouldn't have made that trade. And moreover, you think naturally when Orlando goes up against Miami, the one thing we've all said about Miami, they do not have anyone, any big man present, and they will not be able to stop Dwight Howard, period, point blank. So when they go up against him, they will make short work, because I think talent's a talent. Certainly, it's not about superstars, Paul, but I think you have to recognize that Orlando is not too shabby. They have some snipers that can sit out there and hit these jump shots, and they have absolutely no answer, none, for a player of Dwight Howard's magnitude. And that's going to be the problem. Is it doesn't matter what happens, he will stop the penetration, the dribble penetration of both James and Wade. They will not, and they can sit. You can only hit so many jump shots. He will sit there, you know, because he doesn't have to worry about getting into foul trouble. There's no one to battle him down there to get him into foul trouble.
So we're clear. You have the Orlando Magic coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Okay.
I think this is their year. Only, and I say that only because, and I mean this, the Celtics are too banged up. I think, to me, they would have been the more logical choice. And again, I think the Lakers would have, no matter who they see, though, I can tell you that it's no more than a six-game series. Because the East is going to, A, walk in just beleaguered and beaten up. And also, there's no one on the East right now that has the ability to walk into finals and know how to stop a Lakers team that has done this was 2 years in a row now, which will be almost three.
Well, I like the Lakers. I mean, I think the Lakers will come out of the Western Conference. They're just a tough team, and I can't go against Kobe Bryant. Until he loses, I can't go against Kobe Bryant. I can't go against him right now. He's determined. He's tried. He's tested. And with their big men, with Bynum and Gasol, and the key is Andrew Bynum. If he's healthy, he's a tough matchup for everybody. He is a tough matchup if he's healthy. A tough, tough matchup. But here's two teams I think you need to look out for out west. Those Dallas Mavericks, but I think Dallas will not get through because Caron Butler, and I think Caron Butler was a very big, 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 big loss for this team. Oklahoma City Thunder, who I've talked about. And also, don't forget, and it's, I know Portland and Dallas goes up against each other, but the winner of that series, Portland and Dallas, is going to be a very dangerous team. Portland's a very dangerous team with the addition of Gerald Wallace. I mean, he makes them a lot very versatile at this point. And I think that addition is a big addition for Portland. Portland could upset Dallas in this first round. I don't think they will. But they couldn't. Portland's a dangerous team. Portland's a very dangerous team. Also, I know I talked about how dangerous Oklahoma City is. The Denver Nuggets are a very dangerous team, too.
Yeah.
They've been playing some great, great basketball since the trade of Carmelo, and they've added some pieces with all those guys that they added. They've been playing some great basketball right now. Very good basketball. So give them a lot of credit. They're playing some great basketball in Denver. But I think they're running into the wrong team, and that wrong team is the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's going to be a question of them running into the wrong team, and the wrong team is Oklahoma City. So I don't think they'll get by Oklahoma City, but I think they're a dangerous team. They're a very dangerous team, a very dangerous team. Give them George Karl and those boys a lot of credit for putting that team together and getting that team to play some great basketball down the stretch. The Denver Nuggets are dangerous. Oklahoma City, dangerous. The winner of Portland and Dallas is dangerous. There are some dangerous teams out west. And out east, again, comes down to the top four. Orlando, Boston, Miami. Those are the teams in Chicago as well. Those are the four teams. Those are the top four teams right now. Out east, and those are the four teams who I think have legitimate shots of winning or at least getting to the NBA Finals. And Jeremy, I guess the fourth team you're going with is the Orlando Magic, the fourth seed in the East. Not going with the number two seed in the East, which is the Miami Heat. I expect them to come out of the East. And I guess we both agree that they will be probably facing the Lakers, correct?
Yeah, I mean, and I told you, I think the only team other than Orlando that's equipped at all to make this a reality is the Bulls. But I will say this. I think it's easy to anoint the Bulls, you know, a reality, meaning that they are for real. It's easy to say that because, sure, you know, and Rose can have a great MVP type or MVP, if you will, regular season. But we both know, Paul, what you do in the regular season has absolutely no effect. MVP, non-MVP, what you're going to do in the playoffs. And also, I think that as a whole, what they did in the regular season was certainly phenomenal. How well they are going to maintain their abilities in the postseason, that's to be determined. It's a whole different ballgame. How well they're going to, if someone gets into foul trouble in a quick series, if someone's off, all these things I think are going to play into roles. And also predominantly, I think, you know, they have actually the next, I think, the hardest matchup coming, you know, into their second series. I don't see them being able to, unfortunately, progress past that next round. I look at Orlando, and that's why I pick them. I think while they certainly have no team in the East has an easy road, I just look at the fact that really no one is prepared this year. No one is really prepared for Dwight Howard, and I think Howard at some point has to step up. He has to start learning it, that he's the key, the way Shaq was the key of Shaq's team, and the ball and the offense and the flow has to run through him.
But that's always been a problem with Orlando, getting the ball to actually run through him. And it's a team that loves the three-point shot and tends to fall in love with the three-point shot. But, again, I agree with you about the Orlando Magic. They're a team that can beat anybody on any given day in any building at any given time. They are that type of team because of their three-point shooting and because of the big man they have in Dwight Howard. So just so we're clear, I have the Lakers in the Heat in the finals. I have the Lakers going for a three-peat. I have the Lakers getting the three-peat. And you have the Magic and the Lakers in the finals. And you have the Lakers also going and getting that three-peat.
The prognosticator is back, baby.
We'll see what happens. It's about that time, everybody. You know it. Each and every week, we got to find out and we got to name the man, the person, the woman, whoever it may be. We got to decide who has been stupid. Who has been stupid this week? We have to determine and figure out and see if you stupid, if I'm stupid, or if anybody's stupid. But it's time to name the You Stupid Award for this week. And my nominee is the great Kobe Bean Bryant. Yes, Kobe. This past week, Kobe Bryant was fined $100,000, for his comments, or at least for what he was screaming at an official. He was seen yelling at an official, calling an official a gay slur. And it was all over the news. It was everywhere. And Kobe had a statement, and Kobe said, what I said last night should not be taken literally. My actions were out of frustration during the heat of the game, period. The words expressed do not reflect my feelings towards the gay and lesbian community and were not meant to offend anyone. Kobe, I agree with you on that one. I don't think he meant to offend anyone. I don't think he meant to offend the gay community at all. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But you have to understand this, Kobe. We live in a political correctness society. So you got to be careful the things that you say. And also realize this, Kobe, and this is why you're stupid. Because cameras are everywhere. They see everything, Kobe. They see everything. They see if you're digging your butt, see if you're digging your nose, see if you dig anywhere. They see it. The cameras see it, and the cameras don't lie. You were seeing Kobe using a gay slur. You were seen. Now, Kobe, I know it wasn't malicious towards the gay community. I agree with you. I know it wasn't. But you got to be smarter than that, Kobe. There are cameras everywhere. And for that, Kobe Bryant, you stupid. Jeremy, who you got this week?
Well, you know, he's not stupid because he laid down what was essentially, you know, what, 14, 16 beautiful, vivacious women. He's not stupid because he got into an accident. He's not stupid because he gave up hundreds of millions of dollars to his now ex-wife and then advertising. But Tiger Woods is stupid for one reason, because he didn't win the Masters because he doesn't practice. Because Tiger Woods doesn't want to remember what made him a success in golf wasn't the fact that he was a phenom. It was the fact that he was a phenom and won. And until Tiger starts to win, or conversely, until he starts to practice at his game again and go into some of these tournaments that he doesn't want to have to go into, he is not going to win, which makes him stupid. Because every tournament, when you listen to the commentators, they are dying. The game is waiting for him, begging him to just win a tournament, to win a Masters, you know, and get back on the scene and his rightful throne. And I watched that, and I watched the guy out there struggle, and I thought to myself, everyone is saying the same thing. He's not going to win because his game is not polished. It's been a year now. Get back in the weight room. Do what you have to do. And, you know, play some of these minor league, these Bush League events, and go out there and win a big tournament and take your throne, and then get back in the club with these women again and team up with Martin Sheen and start winning, you know? He has the original Tiger's blood, Paul, but he's not winning, and that makes him stupid.
So, Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, all together now, Jeremy.
You know.
1, 2, 3. You stupid.
Stupid. Yes, if you got Tiger's blood, Paul, you got to give me that. You got to start winning.
I wish I had that. Some may argue, some may say Charlie Sheen really is not winning. But that's another debate for another time. But it is ultimately about winning, and these NBA playoffs are about winning. It's win or go home time right now. These NBA playoffs, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Romeo talks about it. I've been talking about it. This is the most wonderful time of the year. Forget about March Madness. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about March Madness. This is the most wonderful time of the year, everybody. Enjoy. It gets started. It started now. It's starting now. It's going now. You got the Indiana Pacers who are leading the Chicago Bulls. The eighth-seedest Indiana Pacers. The 8 games under .500 Indiana Pacers. They're beating the Chicago Bulls right now, 79-71, near the end of the third quarter now. And again, everybody makes a run in the NBA, and certain teams have certain records for reasons. So we'll see what happens as that thing plays out. But I'm looking forward to the Sixers Heat get started at 3:30. Again, I'm a big-time Sixers fan. I have the Heat going to the NBA Finals, but I don't want them to go to the NBA Finals. I want the Philadelphia 76ers to go to the NBA Finals. And hopefully the Sixers, I know they'll compete, but hopefully they can get it done in this series. But I have the Heat winning the series in six. But I will be rooting for my Philadelphia 76ers. And Romeo talked about Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose right now has 30 points, and the third quarter is not even over. So he's getting it done, and he's definitely a beast at this point. We want to thank Chris Whitney for stopping by. Right now, Chris is a former Villanova quarterback, and right now Chris is a prospect for this upcoming NFL draft. We wish him nothing but the best of luck, and make sure you go out and support Chris, and hopefully we're rooting for Chris. We're rooting for Chris, and hopefully Chris can make his way to the NFL. And also, Romeo Miller, it was a pleasure talking to him. Make sure you check out him on Dancing with the Stars, Mondays and Tuesdays on ABC. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Check out my man, Romeo. And make sure you call 1-800-868-3405 and make sure you vote for Romeo Miller. Keep him on Dancing with the Stars. It was a pleasure talking to him. And you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pregame, where you can listen to this show and other shows. And make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Go4Again. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. I hope you enjoyed it, because we enjoy bringing it to you. See you later. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Bye.